look at them.
Praise the Lord.
This is the second message in the series that I've entitled No Authority Except from God. You know, as we look today, I believe I'll reveal biblical truth about obeying authority. Every believer needs to comprehend the truth of this message, folks. We really do, as we go forward in a time when the authorities are going against God, we need to know that there's a line, and that line is clearly drawn in Scripture. And I hope to show with the next few messages that line is very clear, and that each of us has a duty and responsibility in our honor and worship of God to draw that line in our lives. We're going to see that we are instructed by Almighty God to obey the authority that He places us under, that authority that He puts in place. Even so, we find many examples in the Word of God for disobedience. And we have to recognize that in the historical accounts that are found in the Bible. Those are references for us too. It shows us the limits of obedience to God versus humans. And we have to relate all of the instructions regarding obedience to authorities within the context of the whole canon of Scripture. We can't take one piece or another out of context. We have to look at the whole Bible. These days there are people who insist upon absolute obedience and submission to human authorities no matter what. And they use the text of the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans as their basis for their conclusion. Sadly, they ignore the body of evidence that shows God's authority at work in His people, even in opposition to ungodly human authorities. That's both in the church and in the government, either or. Today, we're going to look at New Testament accounts about the right of believers to disobey human authorities in favor of obeying God. We don't just disobey human authorities because we feel like disobeying human authorities. We disobey human authorities in favor of obeying God, okay? We're going to begin by opening our Bible to the 28th chapter of Matthew, as we did last week, and we're going to read verses 16 through 20. That's Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And I've chosen this text because it's a starting place to show the source of our authority. The believer's authority comes from Christ. We're going to see that Christ Himself said that He's been given all authority. After we look at this passage, we're going to travel through time. And we're going to travel to distant places where we're going to hear of people just like us who relate the truth of God's will and God's way of interacting with human authorities. So as we get started, let's get to Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. And that's where it's written, "The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. I ask that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word today. Before ascending into heaven, Jesus said all authority or all power was given to Him in heaven and on earth. All authority. He didn't say some, He didn't say most, He said all. All power, all authority. And that word power or authority that's translated in our Bibles comes from the Greek word exousia. Exousia. The Thayer's Greek lexicon gives us an in-depth definition for that word. It says in part that it means power of choice. It says liberty of doing as one pleases. And also the power of rule or government. And then in parentheses it says, the power of Him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. As followers, who do we subject ourselves to? Christ. Whose will do we obey? The will of Christ. Whose power are we under? It's Christ's power. That power that comes from Almighty God. We're given that here in this passage where Jesus said all power or all authority was given to him. His will and his commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. We, as followers of Christ, must follow what he says. And where do we find that but written in the Word, in our Bibles? We find what has been recorded, and we follow that. His power and authority extend beyond the earthly realm. He has power and authority over all of creation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He spoke and all things came into being. He has authority over everything. There is no authority higher than Christ. This is why I used the passage that I used about Christ being the King of Kings when we read in Revelation and also in our call to worship. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one with all power. He's the one with all authority. All will bow to him. Every single one will bow to him. Now, our government authorities here are not to bow to anyone but Christ. And yet, we see an image of our president bowing down to a foreign king in submission. It's not God's will. This is a sovereign nation. We live in a sovereign land. This is not something that our government is to do. And yet, our president, our current president, God bless him, has done this. It's very upsetting. It's upsetting to those people in this land who are Christians, who are followers of Christ. Don't bow down to another authority. Christ has the power of choice over everything. He delegated his authority. He even commands evil spirits and demons, and they have to obey him. He has that power and authority over all creation. Extends beyond the earthly realm, goes into the spiritual, into the heavenly realm. He delegated his authority to those who were following him, and his authority is Almighty God's authority, and they, the people that he delegated his authority to, have then further delegated that authority to us through time. There's no power, there's no authority except from God. That's written in Romans chapter 13. Sadly, over time, the followers of Jesus have been tricked into believing they don't have that power. They don't have that authority. His authority is the authority of Almighty God. And we look at this in the Scriptures, we see that that lie can easily be refuted and rebutted by looking at other passages of Scripture. We're going to look at a few of those as we go through this series of messages. Some of the people would tell you that we're limited by Paul's teaching that's found in the 13th chapter of Romans. That's where it's written that let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Those of you who were here last week will recall that I commented about these United States being formed by the people. The people are the power that's written of in Romans 13 in these United States of America. It's not those that we have elected as representatives of us. All here who have served in the military swore to defend that Constitution of these United States of America from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And we have, I believe, domestic enemies that are trying to tear down that which separates the power from the people. The people have the power in this land by God. Okay? Those who teach that false interpretation of Paul's letter would have you bow to all human authorities, even the ungodly. They might even say that our sovereign nations should submit to the authority of the United Nations. But they're absolutely mistaken. Jesus said, come and follow me. He never commanded absolute obedience to ungodly authorities. He said, come and follow me. That's on our bulletin this morning. Come and follow me. Who are we following? Christ. Where does Christ lead? Does he lead us down the path of unrighteousness? Or does he lead us on the path of righteousness? He leads us on the path of righteousness. And us, as followers of Christ, must live our lives to the closest of our ability with his help, with his assistance, by the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation to sin. I want you to open your Bible again. And this time I want you to find the fourth chapter of the book that we call Acts. Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to begin at verse 1 when y'all get there. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Now, you want to talk about revival? You want to talk about the church growing? 5,000 people came to know the Lord through the preaching. Many of those who heard the word believed. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. This was the government at that time. The government over the people, the government over the church, or the body. And they, when they had set them in their midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Now, they're asking about this healing that they had done. They'd healed a man. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone," speaking of Jesus Christ. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, it means they didn't go to seminary, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. It's in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 21. Peter and John were arrested. He laid hands on them, brought them before the council, put them in jail overnight. They were tried by their rulers, who then commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Remember, there's no authority except from God, right? I mean, shouldn't they have just heeded what was said? Shouldn't they have shut their mouths and quit preaching in the name of Jesus? That's what people would say. "You can't preach that. You can't preach that. The government says you're not allowed." That's what they would say. Those authorities gave Peter and John a command. Their command was expected to be absolutely obeyed. But the commands of Christ supersede those of human authorities. Remember what we read in the first passage? What did Jesus say? "Go, preach, teach, baptize." That's what Jesus said. Who's got the highest authority? Who's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Who is above all else? Jesus Christ, the one we serve. That's who gives us the command to go and teach. That's the one who gives us the command to go and preach. He's the one that tells us to do what we do. We were walking under his authority, not under the authority of these human rulers who tell us to stop. That's the bottom line, folks. And we need to get that straight, I think, in the church. I think the whole church needs to get that message, because we've got a whole lot of the churches sitting down and being quiet because the government says, "Don't talk about that. You can't do that anymore. You got to take those Ten Commandments down. That cross isn't okay up there." And we need to stand on the truth of God. We need to be no longer afraid. We need to say, "No, enough's enough. This is our faith. This is our religion. Our Constitution keeps you from stopping us from doing what we do in our religion." Amen. Part of what we do in our religion is we preach. Part of what we do in our religion is we teach. Part of what we do in our religion is we exhibit that. We show it to the rest of the world. And how do we do that but by the Ten Commandments and showing them to people? How do we do that but by showing people the cross of Jesus Christ, who was crucified for the sins of humanity? That's the bottom line, and we cannot allow anybody, not even the government of these United States, not even the government of this Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, to stop us from doing that. We must take a stand. If we don't stand on our faith, we're going to fall flat on our faces. And we're going to be trumped on by people who are carrying guns and telling us that we're not allowed to practice our religion anymore. I say everybody has the right to practice their religion. Don't stop me from practicing mine. Those disciples bowed down before those who ordered them to stop speaking the truth of God's grace in Christ. Oh, yes, sir, master. Oh, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. No, that's not what they did. They confidently told the authorities to judge whether it was right in the sight of God to obey them more than God. Is it right for us to obey human authorities more than obeying God? Absolutely not. Who are we seeking to please if we're followers of Christ? Are we pleasing those human authorities that have usurped the authority of the people? The power in this land is inherent in the people. In this Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I wanted to bring my Constitution up here and read right from it. I'm sorry I didn't do that. I forgot. But in our Constitution, it says all power is inherent in the people. We have the power. Not those that we've elected to represent us. We're to follow Christ, obey Christ. And this is just one example. This example that we read is just one example. We're going to look at another one. But before we do, I want to explain the most important factor that's related to the biblical authority to disobey. To disobey human authorities, you must be acting under godly authority, the righteous authority of Almighty God. In God's authority, you'll do what He instructs. In God's authority, you will do what He commands. And your motive will be love for God and your fellow human beings. It's not going to be love for yourself. It's not going to be doing something for yourself. And oftentimes, people who have stood for what's right by God have had to endure great persecution, and you might have a price to pay too. I might have a price to pay, even for a message like this. But I trust that I'm doing what God wants me to do. Our motives must be uncontaminated by selfishness. Sharing the truth comes with a price. Jesus said, in the world you will have persecution, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you know Him? Do you love Him more than yourself? Even those who fought against tyranny in the early days of this country suffered and died for what was right. We've all been taught that in our history books. They knew that Almighty God had endowed human beings with certain unalienable rights. You can't take those rights away. You can't put a lien on them. You can't take some of that right. And that's what's been happening in this country, incrementally, step by step, little by little. And we need to make it stop, folks. We have to make the buck stop here, right here, with me, with you. We have to stand for our faith. You know, standing for those rights is the same as standing for and obeying Almighty God, even when you're forced to disobey human authorities in the process. Those men who were preaching Jesus Christ crucified for humanity there in Jerusalem, they were standing on the rights that were given to them by Almighty God. And they would not stop. Obedience to God is the test of whether disobedience to human authorities is godly or ungodly. Are you obeying God? Or are you obeying the selfish dictates of your own heart? To obey is biblical. We are to obey human authorities when they're godly authorities. But to disobey is also biblical, and it's godly when the human authorities are contrary to the truth of Almighty God. When they're against the furthering of His gospel message, His redemption message, His message of grace, His message of salvation, His message of the resurrection, then we must be against that. We have to stand for the message of Jesus Christ crucified for humanity. That's what the Bible shows us. When human authorities completely turn away from the truth of Almighty God and they attempt to stop God's people from preaching the truth, then God's people have a duty and a responsibility to stand against that. We have an obligation to disobey those human authorities and follow where the Spirit of Almighty God leads. And where do we go? With His Word. With His Word. Wherever He leads us, with His Word. And that's a difficult message, folks. It's a difficult message for anybody. But you know, we've come to a time, I believe, in this nation when we, by the power of God, must stand on our faith. And that rock that is Christ. As I said, that's what the Bible shows. That's what Jesus shows us. And we're going to look at that in one of the messages that we get into in this series. It's what the apostles show us. We're seeing that in this message. That's what many people who lived before Christ show us. And we'll look at some of them, too. And that's what people all over the world since the time of Christ show us. You think of the martyrs. Think of the people today who are dying in various lands. Think of the church in China that's being killed because the government says it's illegal to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Do they bow down to those authorities? Well, yes, okay, the government says we're not allowed to follow Jesus, so we've got to follow whoever they say to follow. No! All over the world, there are people that are giving their lives for their faith. They're dedicated. Let's take a look at a second biblical example of refusing to obey human authorities. These same guys, Peter and John, were commanded to stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Stop preaching God's grace. Stop preaching Christ crucified for humanity. By the rulers. By the government. By the authorities. According to those who preach absolute subjection to the governing authority, those who say you're supposed to subject yourselves to the governing authorities, you know, Peter and John should have stopped, right? And if you go by Romans 13, all authority is from God, and you're supposed to subject yourselves to the governing authorities. But they didn't. Let's look at what God's Word reveals about this matter. After they were released from being arrested for preaching Christ, they went right back to preaching God's grace. They didn't stop. These guys said, okay, get out of here. And what'd they do? They went out and started preaching again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation. Redemption. Everlasting life. This is the message that we have. The world is sick and we have the medicine. All we have to do is give it to them. Once again, they were arrested. Here's Peter. Here's John. And what did the ruler say? Didn't we command you not to speak in the name of Jesus? Didn't we strictly command you not to teach in this name? Look, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They brought his blood upon themselves. And what was their response? Did Peter and John say, oh, sorry. No, please, we're sorry. We didn't mean to. No. They didn't get wimpy. And he answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to. We must. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Who does God give the Holy Ghost to? Them who obey him. What did Jesus say? Go, preach, teach, baptize. Who are those who are obedient? Those who are going, those who are preaching, those who are teaching, baptizing, discipling, even when the government says don't. And here's Peter and John doing what Jesus said to do, and it was in opposition to what the government said to do. And when the rulers heard this, they were furious and they plotted to kill them. That's written in Acts chapter 5 and verse 33. Do you think it would be different today? Do you think it would be any different today? If the government came in here and said, Pastor John, you got to stop preaching in this name. You got to stop preaching these doctrines out of the Bible. And I kept on preaching. What do you think they're going to do? Come on, folks. You know I'm going to preach. I'm not going to stop. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises. We sing it. I'm standing on His promises. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter if they kill the body because they cannot kill my soul. Almighty God has me in His care. He'll keep me here as long as He wants you all to hear from me. So I guess, well, I don't know. Maybe some folks don't want to hear from me. Got a lot of empty seats today. Praise the Lord. When the rulers heard this, they were furious. So now I have to ask, are you willing to stand in opposition to anybody who commands you to stop preaching truth? Now I bring it home. It's not just about the preacher. It's about the people. We're all given that command. Jesus didn't just say, okay, Pastor John, you go preach the gospel, everybody else can just sit there and listen. We're all given that command, some way, shape, or form. Bring some people in here, I'll preach to them. You get them in here, I'll preach to them. I will preach the Word of God. You know that. Truth is found in Christ's teaching about freedom. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's in John chapter 8 and verse 22. You're free to teach all of God's Word, no matter what any human authority says. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. God will take care of you. So long as He wants you here on this planet, He's going to keep you on this planet. You think about all the things that happened to the Apostle Paul. You think about all the things that happened to all the other apostles. God kept them as long as He wanted to keep them. And they preached His Word. And the church got started. And here we are. a result of that, all these thousands of years later, God's in control. You're free to teach everything. Jesus said, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. It matters not what human authorities command in relationship to the Word of God. We must obey God rather than humans. That's what he says. His Word says. That's what Peter said. And the other apostles too, not just Peter. It's not like Peter was just a lone gun out there saying, well, we're going to obey God, not the humans. And others, oh, no, Peter, please don't say that. No. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. As I wrap this up, I want you to remember that all authority and power belong to Christ. We're instructed by Almighty God to obey the authority that he puts asunder, and the supreme authority is Christ. We are to obey the commands of Christ first. Everybody else comes after that. We're duty-bound to obey all godly authority. And we have to remember that we find solid examples of God-sanctioned disobedience in his Word. In those historical accounts found in the New Testament, we see that there were people who, under God's authority, disobeyed the human authorities. And we have to relate those instructions regarding obedience within the context of the whole Bible. We have an absolute responsibility to Almighty God and to each other to stand firm on his Word, preach it from the rooftops if necessary. And no matter what any human authorities dictate or mandate or legislate, or otherwise command, when it comes to authentic believers, we are duty-bound to Christ, our Lord, to obey God's Word, even when it means going against human authorities. We have to get that right, because there's a time coming, I believe, in our lifetimes, whenever the government's going to say, stop. And we have to say no. This is when we have to be like a two-year-old. No! I will not stop! I'm going to preach Christ with my last breath! Followers of Christ are not restricted by human authorities when those people and systems act outside of God's authority. In this land, those authorities are acting outside of the delegation of powers that the people gave them. And as such, they're acting outside of God's authority. And that's that authority that Paul wrote about in his epistle to the Romans. This is no different from the time of the early church when the rulers commanded the disciples of Christ not to speak in his name or teach what he taught. To disobey human authorities, you have to be acting under God's authority, that righteous authority of Almighty God. And this must be in following what he teaches in his Word. In God's authority, you'll do what he instructs or commands. Your motive will be love for God and love for your fellow human beings. Obedience to God is the test of whether disobedience to human authorities is right. To obey is biblical, but to disobey is biblical and godly when those human authorities are outside of the will of God. We have to be furthering his message of redemption. We have to be furthering his message. It's about Christ. And at this time, in this place, in this community, there are people who are lost without Christ. And we're the ones that have the medicine for them, folks. We're the ones that have to give it to them. We're the ones. He's counting on us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that your message of redemption, your message of salvation by grace through faith, is ours to share. We can have it, and we can give it away and keep it. It doesn't go away. We've received that great salvation by grace through faith, and yet we can give it to others. Help us, Lord, to stand in your Word, in the truth of your Word. Help us to obey godly authority, and help us to know when to stand against it, Lord. Regardless of what those authorities may say, what they might proclaim, what they might mandate or legislate, help us to stand, Lord, in your truth, in your Word, on Christ our Savior. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.